Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. You're Julia Monin. Yep. I'm not. No. I'm Father Sean Wilson.
Right.
And how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Good Thanksgiving break. You?
I did have a nice Thanksgiving.
What'd you do?
Yeah. I ate. Mm-hmm. I ate. Had some multiple Thanksgiving-ish meals. Ish. I don't know why I said ish, but some of them were. Some of them were Thanksgiving food, but not on Thanksgiving Day. Right?
Oh.
So I still think that's a Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, sure.
But it's not on Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
So still with people.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
Good. So much good food.
Oh my gosh. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Grace was just asking me that before we got started. It's hard to pick because it's all really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also different because I don't know about you, but I don't eat like that.
Oh no, that meal?
But one time
it's
a
like
year.
Once a year.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I look forward to it so much. Mm-hmm. Right? It's once a year, but it's like, yes.
Yeah, it's all really good.
Yeah.
Just pumpkin pie, probably, you know, just the classic pumpkin pie, a good roll. I know that's strange, but I don't like eat bread.
I don't know if I've ever heard somebody say rolls.
I don't eat bread in my real life. So like
in
a
your
roll.
Real life?
I don't. So it's like a treat.
Oh yeah.
You know? Like, oh, what a treat.
Wow. What a roll.
So yeah.
Nice.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. Good roll. Turkey's always good. What's not good? You know, it's good. Mom's sweet potato casserole is good. Mm. Your aunt's was good. Asked you.
It was very good. Thanks, Aunt Jane.
Yes, it's good. I'd like to compare your mom's recipe to my mom's recipe to see if they're the same recipe.
Sure. What are your thoughts on marshmallows on sweet potatoes?
Does yours have marshmallows? No. Okay. I was going to say, before I answered that, I didn't want to offend one of our listeners.
Sure.
I will skip over the marshmallow.
You still could offend a listener, just so you know, just because asking.
That's true.
But that's okay. You're allowed to have a personal preference about food.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's perfectly legitimate.
Right.
If anybody takes that personally, just take a deep breath. It'll be all right.
Okay. I'm
sure there's plenty of crazy people that like marshmallows on those.
Mine has more like a pecan kind of crunch.
Oh,
on
yeah.
top.
With like brown sugar?
Yeah.
Mm.
Is that what?
Oh, yeah. That's what everybody loves.
Right. But I was at a Thanksgiving that had the marshmallows. I'm sure it was good. I didn't try it, but I'm sure it was fine for the people that like marshmallows on sweet potatoes. That's a good question. What's your favorite?
It's the sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I normally save them for the end so you get the last bite of sweet potatoes.
They are very dessert-like.
They are. You know, you get brown sugar in there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's plenty of butter.
Mm-hmm. Ordinarily, what is on your like family Thanksgiving meal? Like what is
the usuals?
The usual,
you know, there's nothing out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. Except, however, I should say, this year my aunt and uncle host. My uncle, who married into the family, married my aunt, is half Thai. Mm-hmm. So there were spring rolls as appetizers. Mm. They were good.
That sounds awesome.
They were very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna add a third favorite to my favorites.
Okay, pumpkin pie, sweet potatoes.
No, pumpkin pie roll.
Rolls. That's right. Pumpkin pie rolls and
stuffing. A good dressing. I do like a good dressing.
Okay, but that comes in many shapes and sizes.
That sure does.
What's your?
I'm normally not too picky. I like them all, but I like the burnt edges. So I will go for the edges to get the crispy part instead of pulling from the center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. I like the more like some of it's like soupy, you know, and it's like a bit runny and, you know, I've heard people describe it. Nah, that's just like,
soupy.
Soupy.
Yeah. I don't know that I've had soupy dressing.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Raisins? You a raisin fan in there?
Oh, I probably would eat it, but don't eat it.
Don't need it.
Don't need raisins in the stuffing. No. Mm-mm. Right. My grandma, when she makes dressings, we always had two options, a regular one and then one with oysters.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd have the label in of which one was which.
Oysters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like a delicacy. I never tried that one. Maybe I will next time.
Maybe just a little bit. Just a little spoonful. Maybe. Just to like, here comes the airplane.
If there's any crispy edges left.
Oh, there you go.
I'm
smart.
Particular about that.
Yeah.
All right, sweet potatoes. Dare I ask, like, what's been one of the worst things you ever ate at Thanksgiving? It wouldn't have to be this year's Thanksgiving.
I don't know.
You've already said you're a garbage disposal. You eat anything.
Yep.
So it's probably a hard question for you to answer.
It is. Like, I don't really, like, bad meals don't stick in my stick in my craw.
This is true. I mean, you did share on this show that you one time ate for breakfast cold mock turtle soup mm-hmm. on a burrito.
In a burrito.
In a burrito.
Yeah.
With cheese.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of cheese.
So I think your expectations for food, your palate, it's not super high.
It's not.
Is it edible?
Yeah.
Will it kill
me? I hope that's not insulting to anybody who's ever fed me, but I'll eat anything.
Oh, my gosh. I think people that like to feed people love to feed people like you.
Mm.
Right?
Well, Whatever I
cook here, and you'll love it.
Mm-hmm. Except olives.
Oh.
Not a big olive fan. Like black, green, don't matter. Just, okay. I'd rather do without.
Mm-hmm.
You could crush them and put them into oil, and that's nice.
Mm.
Olive oil.
Gotcha. I like green, but not black.
Huh.
There's a substantial difference between the taste of the two.
Is there?
Hmm. Yeah. I think so. Do you think so? You don't know. You don't like them at all. Oh. Yes, I'm talking to you, random listener. Yeah, who was just having a conversation with me.
You?
You?
In your martini?
Anyway, yeah. Okay. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, it was good. It was a good Thanksgiving.
Great.
This will come out on Friday the 1st, which means Advent.
Here it comes.
New Advent. Liturgical year.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have an Advent New Year's Eve party? Like a new liturgical year?
I absolutely Eve's think party? That should be a thing. Why isn't it a thing? I think it should be.
I don't know.
Like after you pray evening prayer, one, mm-hmm. you know?
On For that, Advent?
Yeah. Like you somebody party. Have a party.
I actually, I've some families having their family reunion after Mass on Saturday. So they invited me. So
you're wearing your Happy New Year hat?
I should. That's a great idea.
That noisemaker thing? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there'll be any for sale at that point, right? You know, like New Year's, Happy New Year stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised. Stuff goes in stores early.
It does go so early.
It's probably it's already horrifying. Out there. You can find it. Anyway, maybe somebody has one from, well.
Yeah.
I was going to say a used one, but they wouldn't have 2024 used ones.
You know, we'll see what happens.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, but I do like to celebrate. I do like to wish people a happy new liturgical year.
Do you?
I do.
Nerd.
I know. Right. New bravery, new liturgical year. Woo, let's do it. Yeah. So anyway, winding down ordinary time. Was it a good year for you?
It's like food. I mean, it's just not many bad years, you know? They've all got their fair share of crosses, but they have an abundance of blessings. So, it was a good year.
Glad to hear that. Praise God.
Praise God's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good. Good.
We should pray.
We should.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks for this year. We thank you for all the blessings which you've bestowed upon us. And we ask that as we transition to Advent, that you may stir in our hearts a great desire to receive your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you may prepare a place in our hearts, our homes, and our families for the coming of the King of Kings. And we trust this podcast, this time, and our lives into your hands in the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Where are we beginning?
Early. Mm. Early in the Catechism.
279 to 292. Creator and Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So these are the first paragraphs on creation. Not the only paragraphs on the fact that God is the creator, but we've done some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the beginning of that section on creation.
Remind us, what is this first section of the Catechism?
The Creed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's all about the Creed. And so in the Creed, we talk about, I believe in the creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. So that...
that's what part we're of the Creed.
That's what we're hitting
here. And that actually is the opening paragraph, 279.
It is.
Talks about that.
Yeah, I stole it from there. Plagiarized.
That was good. That was
Nailed
good.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. 280. Creation is the foundation of all God's saving plans, the beginning of the history of salvation that culminates in Christ. Conversely, the mystery of Christ casts conclusive light on the mystery of creation and reveals the end for which, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. From the beginning, God envisaged.
That, I didn't help.
That's a hard one.
I swallowed my tongue.
The glory of the new creation in Christ. So creation is the foundation, culminates in Christ, casts conclusive light on the mystery of Christ, casts light on the mystery of creation.
Right. So when we're telling the story, right, of God's plan for salvation, of what he does, we have to start with creation, right? Because, we got to know why Jesus came. All right, why did Jesus come at all? And it starts with creation, that God created all of this to be good. Everything was created in harmony. Everything flows from a heart of love of the Father that got screwed up, right? And we've talked about the fall, and I don't know if we have any sections left about it, but that's why Jesus comes. So that's why this is so important, because it's part of the story, and it's a very integral part of the story. It's why it's in the creed. Right? We believe in the Creator, and what that means that He created is really important. So it's so important that, as the next paragraph says, is at the Easter Vigil, we start with the readings of the creation of the heavens and earth from the very beginning of the book of Genesis. So it's just shows how important it is. It's like when we're looking at all the things that could be included in the Easter Vigil, creation, number one, bat and lead off, top of the order.
And this next section then, which is catechesis on creation, just kind of drives that home. Catechesis on creation is of major importance. It concerns the very foundations of human and Christian life, for it makes explicit the response of the Christian faith to the basic question that men of all times have asked themselves. Where do we come from? Where are we going? What is our origin? What is our end? Where does everything that exists come from? And where is it going? The two questions, the first about the origin and the second about the end, are inseparable. They are decisive for the meaning and orientation of our life and actions. So this catechesis on this is foundational.
Right, because it answers the very important questions of human existence, which is why... and it touches this, I think, in 284 or 285, just about how every culture has creation stories, right? Whether it's the ancient Babylonians or the ancient Greeks, right? All of them have different stories of creation. And it's not just because they're trying to figure things out before science, but it actually tells them who they are. It actually tells them why they exist, why there's something rather than nothing, why... And then that tells us, well, what's the point, right? What's the end of all of this? If we know how it all started, then we know how to live, right? If we know who we are, we know where we come from, then we know how to live our day-to-day life. And so that's why it's so important. It answers these fundamental questions of like, well, does anybody actually care about me? Or is my life just, you know, floating around nimbly-blimbly, you know, and nothing's important?
Yeah, and that is touched on in 284. So 283 talks about the discoveries, right? The discoveries over time.
Fascinating, though. You know, like, because it talks about science... discovers the handiwork of the Creator. And as science has worked more and more, all it's discovered is, holy shnikes, creation is complex and intricate and perfectly balanced. And so like the more scientists dig into it, the more you're just like in awe of creation. And it basically is like, it seems more illogical that this is all a product of chance rather than there's a divine mind behind it that orders and keeps everything in existence, right? The fact, if this is all just some random chance, is far greater of a leap than there's a being that created everything. That, of course, is my opinion, but it seems pretty crazy that all of this, and the variables that have to be in perfect harmony with each other, like just the number of electrons versus protons in the universe. If there were too many electrons, we'd basically all... like electromagnetism would overtake gravity and we just disperse. I don't know what would happen, but it wouldn't be good.
Would we be saying holy shnikes? That's what the good people are asking.
Is that what they're asking? Is that all that they caught from that?
No, I listened after that, but it did give me pause.
Maybe. I don't know what the good people are thinking. They maybe already have turned off. They're like, you know, Thanksgiving was over a week ago. It's December.
Right. We're moving on. Okay. But
it's what happens, though, when you have a beard. Sometimes you get turkey juices in there and they just stick around forever.
Then you get to enjoy them later. Is that one of the benefits of having the whiskers, beard around Thanksgiving time?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Good to know. So again, 283 is talking about science and the discoveries, inviting us to even greater admiration for the greatness of the Creator. And then 284 is talking about, right, these discoverings, they teach us this. The universe is not governed by chance, blind fate, anonymous necessity, or is it by a transcendent, intelligent, and good being called God, right? And this is what these discoveries are pointing to.
So basically, the questions, though, that 284 mentions is, science can say so much about creation, but what it can't say is what is before it, right? Like, how did this all come to be? And does this have any, like, the question of meaning is not a question that science can answer, right? Science can't answer the why. It can answer the how or the what, mm-hmm. right? How does one thing lead to the next? What actually does it mean to that the universe is expanding or something like that? Mm-hmm. But the why is a question that science can't answer. Mm-hmm. So that's important just to make that distinction, yeah, because sure. if science does begin to answer the why or propose a why, it's overstepping its bounds, right? Because, mm-hmm. well, you can't calculate the why, the motivation. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that it's pointing. And so the why could just be blind chance, or the why, there's really only two options, or there's a creator who created mm-hmm. everything. That's the two options.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
This goes on to talk about some of the myths concerning these origins, right? So since the beginning, the Christian faith has been challenged by responses to the question of origins that differ from its own. Ancient religions and cultures produced many myths concerning origins. And then it goes into different of these. Pantheism, dualism,
Manichaeism. Yeah.
Gnosticism, deism, materialism, and talks about what each of those, what's wrong with each of those. Yeah? Do you want to talk about those in detail?
Yeah, I think... at least mention what they all are. So the first one is just the ancient myths. So mm-hmm. that would be things that we learned about in like mythology class mm-hmm. about maybe what the ancient Babylonians believed or what the ancient Egyptians believed. So all these different myths that came out mm-hmm. about how, what creation is, mm-hmm. what, you know, there's some fun ones, but basically the creation stories tell basically the origin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then pantheism is basically God is everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is God rather than everything is created by God. So pan is like the word for all. So Peter Pan is the kid of all, right? Mm. Of everything. So pantheism is basically God is everything. And then let's see. Dualism or a Manichaeism is a dichotomy. You can almost think of like the yin and yang, right? There's an epic struggle between good and evil, and they're of equal powers that are fighting. Mm. And we would say, well, there's an issue there because they're not equal powers. Good is evil exists, but good is far stronger and is all powerful. So Manichaeism, that dualism, would basically say these are two things fighting each other of equal power that are worn it out.
Okay.
And that could be good, evil, light, darkness, whatever you want to talk about it. Gnosticism is basically like the Greek word gnosis is knowledge. So like there's this special knowledge, and that's what salvation is. So what the body is not good because the goal is to escape the body, right? Mm. The goal is to have this knowledge that you leave the body behind. We'd say, well, you got a big issue with that because Jesus resurrects in his body. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Gnosticism would be like, body bad, spirit good. Let's get rid of this thing and get to heaven.
Gotcha.
That creeps in a lot into even just our common understanding.
Sure.
Gnosticism, no good. Ask St. Augustine.
Okay.
Deism would basically be, this was like, this came about much later. I think we're talking like 1700s, which would basically be like, okay, yeah, there is a God, right? Look at all this, how creation is. But the analogy was a watchmaker. Mm-hmm. So basically deism would say that God set everything up, and then he just let it run its course, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no continual involvement in God and the sustaining and intervening in creation. Just like a watchmaker, right, created this watch. I haven't had a battery change in my watch ever because it doesn't have a battery. So that's basically the idea. It's like God just sets it all up and just lets it run its course without any involvement, which is crazy because God sent his son and prophets and, you know, all that sort of other interaction.
Okay.
And then finally, there would be materialism, which basically says there is no God. There is no spiritual reality. All we are is just flesh and blood. All our minds are just protons and neurons firing. And so that's basically, it's all physical. And any spiritual is just people trying to dull themselves from the pain of their just materialistic existence.
Gotcha.
So those are all the issues that the church points out with creation and who we are and where we come from and what our lives are all about. Because you think about each one of those, if they're true and you believe them, well, then you have to live differently, right? If you believe that all we are is materialistic, well, you're going to live a certain way, right? Your actions, there's no sense of prayer. Why would you pray? Why would you take time for that? And anything else would just be, if all we are is flesh and blood, let's just get as much pleasure as possible, right? And if this is an epic struggle between good and evil, you don't know which one's going to win out. So which side do you want to be on, right? Well, if it's all about that evil might eventually win out, well, I guess, I want to place some money on that bet, right? if the body's bad, like Gnosticism says, well, then you're going to live and not be terribly kind to your body, right? It's not a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's just the old ball and chain that comes around with me. So the importance of this is if we get this wrong, we don't know who we are. And if we don't know who we are, we don't know how to live. So
truth.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Wow.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, all of these are listed in a single paragraph in mm-hmm. the catechism, mm-hmm. but boy, you could talk about them mm-hmm. quite widely. Mm-hmm. And the church has gotten, right, like mm-hmm. has had to duke it out over these things mm-hmm. and be like, wait a minute, no, that ain't mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And the ultimate answer comes in Jesus, who's the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, mm-hmm. right? So he reveals to us the goodness of creation, as the catechism point out, right? Jesus finally reveals the importance of creation mm-hmm. by becoming part of creation.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Right. And as we mentioned before, that this culminates in Christ. This mystery of Christ casts light on the mystery of creation, right? All of this is mm-hmm. in Christ and reveals the end for which
right.
for which we're made. Okay. Great. All right. That was great, Father. Thank you. The next paragraph, 286. Let's see. Human intelligence is surely already capable of finding a response to the question of origins. The existence of God, the Creator, can be known with certainty through his works by the light of human reason, even if this knowledge is often obscured and disfigured by error. This is why faith comes to confirm and enlighten reason in the correct understanding of this truth. By faith, we understand that the world was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear.
So yeah, that's basically saying your mind can use to capture creation and realize that, gosh, there's got to be a creator behind all of this, mm-hmm. right? And there's order to it and there's goodness to it, right? We can perceive that with our minds. Faith, but sometimes our minds get clouded, right? And so we miss things. So faith comes to uncloud, but also to confirm what we perceive and reason. Mm-hmm. To say, yeah, you're right, everything is good. Because mm-hmm. it comes from God. And here's the story, right? Mm-hmm. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that mm-hmm. he gave us creation. Mm-hmm. So faith clarifies and confirms what reason perceives. Mm-hmm. Clarifies and confirms. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's missed by some people, a faith, like the reason aspect of it?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Some. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Not people of Catholic faith, right? Because we believe, right? We believe that, as John Paul II said, faith and reason are two wings on the same bird of knowing, mm. right? Like they complement each other. Mm. You don't have to leave your intelligence at the door when you become a believer. Mm. So, mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it shouldn't for Catholics shouldn't. Because that's mm-hmm. It's been the teaching of the church from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, there's always been issues where we get skeptical or, you know, people get involved and they're imperfect. But the constant tradition of the church has always been faith and reason go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. What was that quote again about the bird?
Yeah, they are two wings on the same bird of knowing.
On the same bird of knowing. I like that.
And that is, I mean, he uses the bird analogy yeah. in a document.
Does he do the motion too?
Probably when he wrote it. Yeah. yeah.
Right.
You know, one of our favorite movies growing up was Angels in the Outfield. Oh, did you ever see that? And so they're doing the angel absolutely. Motion whenever there's an angel
right.
working with the angels in the outfield, which is really, you know, a fitting reference as we're talking about creation and angels are part of creation.
Right. That fit right in.
Yeah.
You think the nacho butt fits in there too? Sorry, that's the best part of it.
It's a funny part, okay. man. What a movie.
All right.
Old Danny Glover.
All right, so 287 and 288. The truth about creation is so important for all of human life that God, in his tenderness, wanted to reveal to his people everything that is salutary to know on the subject. Beyond the natural knowledge that every man can have of the Creator, God progressively revealed to Israel the mystery of creation. Then jumping ahead to 288, thus the revelation of creation is inseparable from the revelation and forging of the covenant of the one God with his people. So God wants us to know what we need to know mm-hmm. in order to be remedied and in order to follow him. And he progressively reveals
right.
more and more of this.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you even, so they've got the story of creation, which was with the people of God for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But then later you get the Psalms, right? David writes the Psalms, the heavens are telling the glory of God and all creation proclaims his praise, right? Mm-hmm. That's another step along the way. Mm-hmm. And then even later, we're talking like 200, 250 years before Christ, we get the Book of Wisdom, which also talks about more of creation. I was hoping there was a footnote somewhere about from Wisdom, but there is. Footnote 121.
17.
Yeah. It is he who gave me unerring knowledge of what exists, to know the structure of the world and the activity of the elements. Mm-hmm. For wisdom, the fashioner of all things taught me. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the progression, right? Just mm-hmm. as God progressively calls his people back to himself in covenants, he progressively reveals the meaning, the origin of creation, mm-hmm. and the structure too.
So then this section wraps up with 289. Among all the scriptural texts about creation, the first three chapters of Genesis occupy a unique place. The inspired authors have placed them at the beginning of scripture to express in their solemn language the truths of creation, its origin and its end, its order and goodness, the vocation of man, and finally the drama of sin and the hope of salvation.
Right, so it's really important to realize what that is saying and what it's not saying. So the solemn language, the truth of creation, its origin, its end in God, its order and goodness, the vocation of man, and finally the drama of sin and the hope of salvation. Mm-hmm. So what it's not saying is the science, right? Like, so mm-hmm. it's written as a text that's very different from a science textbook. Now, mm-hmm. sometimes we want to read it like a science textbook, but that's mm-hmm. not the way it was intended to be read. Mm-hmm. And so we could go into this further, but the most important things that we learn about creation are not the how, it's the why. Mm-hmm. And so that's the most important thing for all of us about mm-hmm. what these first three chapters. Like, it tells why everything's so messed up, right? Mm-hmm. Because of this original sin that happened in Adam and Eve. Why we have something rather than nothing? Because God loved the world and he sees that it's good. Mm-hmm. Are things good or bad? Well, they're good. And is human beings good or evil? Because we seem pretty messed up. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're not just good, we're very good. Mm-hmm. Who are we? We're made in the image and likeness of God. Holy shnikes. Right?
Exactly.
And there's order, there's goodness. So mm-hmm. so these are the most important truths that we get, not mm-hmm. the how, mm-hmm. right? And it very well could be that the literal interpretation of Genesis, of this is how it happened, mm-hmm. is what really happened. Mm-hmm. But that's not the most important thing that mm-hmm. we read from those. So, mm-hmm. and that, you know, is a whole talk and a whole podcast mm-hmm. and probably a whole master's level course. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. anybody got time for that right now?
Well, not on this show, anyway.
No. Ain't nobody got the intelligence for that right now. I'm talking about me, not our listeners. Our listeners are wonderful.
Yes.
Love you, Mom.
The next three paragraphs then ends up our section for today is creation being the work of the Holy Trinity. Mm-hmm. 290, 291, 292. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Three things are affirmed in these first words of Scripture. One, the eternal God gave a beginning to all that exists outside himself. Two, he alone is creator. Three, the totality of what exists, expressed by the formula of the heavens and the earth, depends on the one who gives it being.
Yeah, so that's also against pantheism, that everything is God, right? No, it's outside. He creates. Just like if I created a work of art, you wouldn't say that's Father Sean. No, it's a creation of Father Sean. Mm. And it's probably not from him because he doesn't really do works of art.
I thought you were going to end that with, and it's really spectacular. Just yeah. He's a great artist.
Yeah. Try not to lie.
Okay. And then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The New Testament reveals that God created everything by the eternal Word, his beloved Son.
So that's the progressive nature. Now we learn with mm-hmm. the Jesus is like, oh, the Word was involved. Everything was created through the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In him, all things were created in heaven and on earth. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together.
It's quoting St. Paul, mm-hmm. letter to the Colossians.
The church's faith likewise confessed the creative action of the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, the creator spirit, the source of every good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this is too saying, like, sometimes we look to God is Father, God Creator. I think we associate God Father with God Creator, but this mm-hmm. is saying, like, this Trinity is inseparable,
right?
And they all have this.
They're all active. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even in the even in the book of Genesis, you hear about God speaks, and then there's the spirit that hovers over the water. And so us looking back on it, see, okay, there's the presence of the Trinity, even mm-hmm. in the book of Genesis, with the spirit that hovers over the water, God's spirit, and then the word that gets spoken.
Mm-hmm. Mm. The Old Testament suggests and the New Covenant reveals the creative action of the Son and the Spirit, inseparably one with that of the Father. This creative cooperation is clearly affirmed in the Church's rule of faith. There exists but one God. He is the Father, God, the Creator, the Author, the Giver of order. He made all things by himself, that is, by his word and by his wisdom, by the Son and the Spirit, who, so to speak, are his hands. Creation is the common work of the Holy Trinity.
See, that's what we just said.
That's exactly right. It's like we knew that was coming.
Ah.
Yes. Okay. So anything else with that?
You read ahead for this?
Sometimes. No, I do. I do. That would be bad.
It would.
It's funny because I was on the radio this morning doing the show I do every once in a blue moon, you know? You remember that? That's how
we I think you started. Do it more often than once in a blue moon, but that's neither here nor there.
First, fourth, and if there's a fifth Monday, the fifth Monday too. But I got talking about the Creator, right, and God, and I caught myself saying, this was before I read this, and I caught myself saying something about Jesus or the Father being the Creator, and then it came out, and when it came out, it sounded like Jesus wasn't involved,
sure,
like as part of the creation. And I immediately went, ooh, that seems wrong. That doesn't seem right. And so sure. I corrected it, moved on. And then I read this, and I'm like, my gut was right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. Okay. So.
I do think in the church's tradition, though, it normally gets the Father gets associated as the primary actor in creation, mm-hmm. just as the Son is the primary actor in salvation, mm-hmm. right? So it doesn't mean that the Father and the Holy Spirit weren't present in Jesus' salvation, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit comes upon him at his baptism. He's all about the Father's business. Mm-hmm. So similarly, in creation, the work of the Father that the Son and the Spirit are both involved in. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's primarily his action, mm-hmm. but not entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's heresy, somebody let me know.
Okay.
I think that's right.
Okay.
But I haven't taken my Trinity class in 10 years. So.
We hesitant to talk about the Trinity.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that can be wrong.
Trinity Sunday, we joke about, is called Heresy Sunday. Right. Because there's so many ways you can go awry.
Exactly.
So. Right.
We're not meaning to. Okay.
Yeah.
It's out of ignorance.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to cross that off and move on. If you want to check out the in brief paragraphs for that section, take a look at 315 and 316. And we're dwindling down. We discussed before we went on the air that we'll record a few more episodes after this one and then start a new season. So where are we going?
Oh, I got one.
Oh,
first try. 2896 to, I believe, 2913, the Christian family. 2196?
To
2213. Sorry, I stuck the dart in the number. Hit him right in the numbers. 2196 to 2213.
Okay.
The Christian family. What do you think? It's going to be for or against the Christian family?
I think probably for.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Okay. That's where I'll put my money.
I don't know if you read ahead.
Didn't it? So there was so many good things we could end with. The Psalms, like you mentioned, are beautiful too. We see this progressive revelation of God. I want to end with all of Psalm 33. It's not super long, but it's a little longer than normal, but it's really beautiful. Is that okay with you?
Hit it, Julia.
Rejoice, you righteous, in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp. On the 10-stringed lyre, offer praise. Sing to him a new song. Skillfully play with joyful chant. For the Lord's word is upright. All his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. The earth is full of the mercy of the Lord. By the Lord's word, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathered the waters of the sea as a mound. He sets the deep into storage vaults. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all who dwell in the world show him reverence. For he spoke, and it came to be, commanded, and it stood in place. The Lord foils the plan of nations, frustrates the designs of peoples. But the plan of the Lord stands forever, the designs of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people chosen as his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and observes the children of Adam. From his dwelling place, he surveys all who dwell on earth. The one who fashioned together their hearts is the one who knows all their works. A king is not saved by a great army, nor a warrior delivered by great strength. Useless is the horse for safety. Despite its great strength, it cannot be saved. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, upon those who count on his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive through famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. For in him our hearts rejoice. In his holy name we trust. May your mercy, Lord, be upon us as we put our hope in you.